It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are doing a four-part series focused on fire prevention and preparedness. We're now in the midst of April. Spring has arrived and fire season is just around the corner. Last weekend, we focused primarily on evacuation and ingress and egress related concerns. There is a heightened awareness about evacuations following the devastation in Paradise, California last summer. If you missed that show, you can find it archived in the multimedia section of mymotherlode.com. Featured Sheriff Bill Pooley, Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Liz Peterson, Sonora Police Chief Drew Vanderwill, and CHP Sergeant Randy Mattyshock. Well, today we're going to focus in on what you need to know and do ahead of the fire season to protect your home and property as fires continue to grow in size across the region and state. Also, what you need to remember if heading out to places like the Stanislaus National Forest to recreate over the spring and summer and fall months. We're joined in studio by City of Sonora Fire Chief Amy New, CAL FIRE Unit Forester Adam Fries, and Deputy Fire Chief for the Stanislaus National Forest, Clint Gould. So thank you for coming in, and good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Well, I'll start first with Adam Fries, who, again, is with CAL FIRE. You know, the question about defensible space and home hardening, basically, what do people need to keep in mind this time of year?
So for defensible space is one of the best things people can do to prepare themselves for the oncoming fire season. Defensible space is basically reducing the amount of fuel around your home. It's looked at in two zones. The first 30 feet is where people need to do the most aggressive fuel treatment, trying to take the rake everything up so you have it down to bare mineral soil, removing anything that's dead. A critical thing that people really need to keep in mind is keeping their roof and gutters free of debris, where embers can land on that debris and cause control problems for us or ignite their roof. The roofs are one of the most vulnerable spots on the home. And then in the zone two is that 30 to 100 feet or to the property line if you don't own 100 feet from your home. And that fuel reduction doesn't need to be as aggressive, but I definitely want to eliminate the continuity of fuels to eliminate the fuel ladder. So if a fire's burning on the ground, if you can eliminate, create space between the ground fire and the canopy of the trees, it just makes it harder for the fire to spread, so it reduces the fire behavior as it approaches the house.
What would be, you know, some examples of type of fuels that you could see that during that 30 to 100 foot zone, as you mentioned?
You know, a big one in our area is manzanita. That's in that mid canopy that is draped with pine needles. That's really flammable. Manzanita and small trees are a huge, you know, huge fuel loading in our area. So those are areas that people need to focus on. Pruning trees up is a big help to eliminate that fire ladder. And then home hardening is basically taking steps to make your actual home itself less resistant or more resistant to fire. So anywhere embers can be getting into your house, it's using fire-resistant construction, having openings covered with vents that have screens on them to make it harder for embers. And then again, looking at construction materials. So like a shake roof, for instance, would be really flammable. So if you could change to a composition roof or metal roof, that'll be much more resistant to catching on fire.
Move over to Fire Chief New. You oversee the City of Sonora limits. Is it the same rules and requirements when it comes to defensible space and the recommendations?
Yeah, currently the city has an ordinance that was dated back to 1985, and it's actually more restrictive than the government code that CAL FIRE uses right now. Unfortunately, it hasn't been highly enforced over the years, and so we do have an issue with defensible space. The city, myself and staff are currently working on taking a defensible space ordinance to the city council the end of this month and first part of May to get that passed. It would bring us more in line with the defensible space requirements from CAL FIRE, and that would be that 30 feet, 0 to 30 feet from your home, and then the 30 to 100 or the property line. So again, as Chief Fries stated, you know, just making sure that anything dead and dying around your house is removed. If you have ornamental shrubs that are watered, you know, that actually is a good green buffer or lawn that can stop the embers from spreading. But just making sure all the dead and dying materials, and especially on the roofs and the gutters. One trick I found that, you know, a lot of people have a hard time getting up on ladders and cleaning their gutters, but if you have an electric or a gas blower, it works really well and extremely fast of blowing the leaves and pine needles out of your gutters. So that's a trick you can use, just being really careful going up and down on your roof with a ladder. But it's a lot easier than scooping it out by hand or using some of the gutter scoops that they have out there. So that's a quick trick.
It's good advice. You know, in the city limits of Sonora, defensible space, just in a general sense, you know, how is the community doing right now? Are they doing pretty well? Is there still a lot of work that needs to be done over the coming months?
You know, with the recent fires in the state of California, I think anything you can do to better prepare yourself is more. So right now we do have homeowners that are taking those steps, but with the recent rains that we've had, everything is growing fast. It's green right now, so it looks good. It's going to be something that over the next 3 to 4 months, one time's probably not going to be enough. They're going to need to really look at their homes as things do start drying out and keep on it and remove those fuels. So I think they really need to step up this summer and make sure that they're going out and looking at their home in a critical way to make sure that they remove the dead and dying fuels.
When it comes to defensible space, how is it regulated? Do you actually go out and do like look at different areas, or is it basically people complaining about neighbors who have problems with defensible space?
We actually have both. The city did adopt the state's regulations on extreme fire hazard, and the city of Sonora does have basically almost the entire city except for a corridor on Greenlee Road and Stockton that is basically a high extreme fire danger. So what we have done is we try to go out once every 3 to 5 years and hit every single home. So we've divided the city limits up into 5 quadrants, and each year we go out and inspect the homes in that area. If we do get complaints that come in, then we do go out and inspect those as well. But we're trying to do a program where we're at least getting out once every 5 years to the homeowners, inspecting them, and educating them about what they need to do to prepare for a wildfire.
And you at Unit Forester Freeze with CAL FIRE, it's kind of a wider area that you oversee. You know, is it kind of the same way that inspections take place?
Yes, there's we have our own priorities set, but we also respond to complaints. Inspections are done by, we have defensible space inspectors that are seasonal 9-month positions. They started first part of March and have been working in the Crystal Falls area. We also have a lot of inspections done by our volunteers in prevention, who are volunteers and act as our agents to go out and do inspections. And we get a tremendous amount of inspections done by those folks. It's a huge help. And then also our engine staff go out and do inspections. They're working a lot of fuel projects right now, but they will be shifting gears and doing defensible space inspections as well. So we usually do about, in the unit, we shoot for about 14,000 inspections a year, which is, you know, typically where we're at.
Mentioned the manzanita being something to look at. Any other common mistakes that you find during defensible space inspections that people may not realize that are kind of in violation?
You know, roofs and gutters is huge. A lot of people sometimes are really attached to the amount of vegetation around their house, you know, having a screen and whatnot, but I can't stress the amount, how important it is for people to reduce the amount of vegetation. Another thing is trying to do the right thing the wrong way. A lot of times our two leading causes of fires in our unit are debris burning and then equipment use. When people are burning with the permit and in accordance with the terms of the permit, we don't get fires from that, but it's typically when people are burning at a time when they're not supposed to, without a permit or not following the terms of the permit that they do have and are not in attendance, don't have adequate clearance. Those, we do get fires from that. So it's just really important when people are creating defensible space that they are burning in, if permits are required, burning in accordance with the terms of the permit. And then another, with the equipment cause, one of the main causes is from people mowing dry grass during the heat of the day. Lawn mowers are really made for lawns, not for mowing dry grass. They don't have a spark arrestor because they're supposed to be on green grass. They are really susceptible to rock strikes that can cause a fire. And a lot of times what I see is fire danger is really high and people are motivated to reduce the fuels all of a sudden. So I see them out in the afternoon mowing dry grass with the mower, and that's really dangerous. So I just want to encourage people to do defensible space, but also make sure they're not doing the right thing the wrong way.
And as we sit here and talk in April, when it comes to permits right now, you don't have to have a permit, correct?
Correct. From CAL FIRE, permits will start being required May 1st. So right now we're in open burning with no requirements on pile size, anything like that. But you do have to call and make sure it's a permissive burn day.
And Chief New, when it comes to burn permits, what are kind of the rules and regulations in the city limits?
Yeah, so it's really important that people understand that the city of Sonora requires a burn permit all year round. We do follow the restrictions that CAL FIRE and the Environmental Pollution Control have in effect. So you do have to have the ground cleared 15 feet around the burn pile. It can't be larger than 4x4x4. It can only be leaves or dry debris. It can't be any kind of treated lumber or trash or garbage or anything like that. The permits are available at the fire station on Shepherd Street, 201 South Shepherd Street. They're $20 for the year. And we do come out and inspect the site to make sure the area that you're burning in is cleared and ready to go. It's just an extra precaution that we want to take in the city to make sure that we don't have any escape burns and that people understand the regulations. And if they don't, we can explain it to them. We actually have up on our website a picture of what your burn pile should look like. And so it has a lot of great information, and the visual is really good where people can take a look at it and go, oh, I didn't realize I needed to have it cleared back that far or down to bare soil. But the burn permits that the city requires, it does have to be a permissive burn day. When CAL FIRE does go to May 1st and they require the burn permits and fire season begins and they do have restrictive hours, we follow that as well. Right now, it just has to be a permissive burn day and have a permit in the city to burn.
I can see that picture right now. We'll make sure to put that up on mymotherload.com as well so everybody can see just exactly what you need to do. And we need to take a quick break. We're joined in studio this weekend talking about fire prevention and preparedness. During this first segment, we've been talking with City of Sonora Fire Chief Amy New and CAL FIRE Unit Forester Adam Fries. Also joined in studio by the Deputy Fire Chief of the Stanislaus National Forest, Clint Gould. We'll be talking with him in just a minute, turning our attention to the Stanislaus National Forest. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Programming note, next weekend on Motherload Views, we'll conclude our four-part series focused on fire prevention. We'll be talking about fire prevention projects underway, things like the Master Stewardship Agreement and state-funded projects. Our guests will include Glenn Gottschalk with the Highway 108 Fire Safe Council, OES Coordinator Liz Peterson, and a representative from CAL FIRE as well. That's next week on Motherload Views. Our second segment talking about fire prevention and preparedness is coming up in just a minute.